What up, everyone? Welcome to the AfterBuzz show for the Iron Fist. We're here to talk about episodes 9 and 10. That's the Mistress of All Agonies and Black Tiger Steel's Heart. All that and more coming up.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I regret nothing.
I never do. That
yeah,
was his choice.
Yeah, Zombie is just a good choice for any song. Yeah. Guys, welcome to the Iron Fist After Show. I am your host, Jesse Klein. You can find me everywhere at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one. To my left.
Hey guys, I'm Lucretia Lyons. You can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one.
And to her left.
I was going to say, who's doing the left? Who's leading man?
Yeah.
I'm Katie. Yeah. Hi, all my buddies. I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me all over the social medias at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. And to my left.
But thank you for that. Well, I guess good morning, good evening, good afternoon, however you're watching this, listening to it. Guys, it's Mike Kalinowski. You can find me at Mike Kalinowski out there.
Awesome. Guys, we have a full show today.
Guys, look at this.
Cool. It's the team.
It's the first one, isn't it?
We have the hashtag. We have ABTV Iron Fist on Twitter. We have the live chat. We're keeping an eye on that. And we have a Rob T. Pete in the live chat says, hello, newly subscribed and loving AfterBuzz.
Oh,
welcome to the madhouse.
Welcome, Rob.
Yeah. So if you have fun stuff to say, throw in the hashtag, throw in the live chat.
Please, we'll get a shout out. We got two people keeping eyes on it, and they will let us know. Also, you can find us on iTunes. Leave us a review. That's how people know that you like it. Guys, we're going to talk about episodes 9 and 10. Again, the emo, just fill in whatever name for whatever you want.
Emo autocorrect poetry.
Yeah, emo autocorrect poetry.
Hipster autocorrect poetry. Yeah.
The Mistress of All Agonies.
No, that is emo autocorrect poetry.
That is, I'm pretty sure that is a Linkin Park title.
I think it is. That was probably my screen name in middle school.
There you go. Live journal screen name.
Mine was Daughter of Darkness, so yeah. Let's be real.
And Black Tiger Steel's Heart, again, very emo autocorrect.
Yeah.
Overall feeling for these two episodes, I'm really positive on these two episodes. I really enjoyed them. I think continued the kind of explanation that Danny is an 8-year-old boy, which is, again, if we'd had that in episode 1 and 2, I think we would have liked those better. I am liking Danny as a character better from these last 4 episodes that we saw.
Yeah, honestly, I preferred Gow in a Box more than Here Is My Other Hand, but...
Sure.
Gow in a Box.
That's what they are,
it's
Gow
on
in
the
Box.
Board.
And it's literally, the right hand does not know what the left hand is doing. That's what we have here. It's
like,
what, hashtag not all hand.
I guess.
That's what we get, not all hand. Oh, God, here we go.
I personally don't really like box episodes like that, but we'll get into it. You guys, overall feelings?
These were the first two that I liked.
Okay.
Yeah, this was, I mean, it's sad to say it, but it's the actual first two where the fighting was kind of getting better. Danny was getting better at fighting.
Mm-hmm.
The mythology, that whole thing with the whole past Iron Fist, that was,
that's
what we wanted to see.
Yeah.
That's what we wanted, you know. So it's encouraging, you know.
Yeah.
Got 3 left after this, so we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it gave us everything we were asking for, finally.
Right.
Like, the throwback costume, we like Danny now.
Yeah.
The fighting was better, so, I mean, they gave it to us.
Yeah.
It just took them 10 episodes.
I will say that Claire is as effective at beating soldiers as Danny is still.
And that says something. That should tell you something.
She's lived through 2 seasons of Daredevil, a season of Jessica Jones, and a season of Luke Cage. She better know how to kick ass and take names at this point in time.
Yeah.
Or she wouldn't have lived through the first season of Daredevil.
But also a poisoned Colleen Wing, also as good as Danny at fighting.
This is also true.
So let's get into Gow in a Box. That's what I'm calling Mistress of All Agonies.
It's my Gow in a Box.
Let's just talk about the Madame Gow interactions there. So we got her interacting with Claire, and we see how Gow is just an expert at manipulation. Not that we were ever surprised about that, but really good at figuring out how to push people's buttons. And we see this kind of tag team of Claire and Colleen being like, okay, your turn with her.
Her dance puppets dance game is amazing.
Yeah.
Just incredible.
With Claire, we get her talking about Claire's mom, who we met Luke Cage.
Yep.
Who was fantastic. Don't you dare touch Claire's mom. She's awesome. And then with Colleen, we get some backstory with her grandfather. And we get an interesting saying that the frog knows nothing of the ocean when it's in the well, or something like that.
Yeah, the frog in the well knows nothing of the sea.
Of the sea, yeah. Which is an interesting saying. I like it.
That's this entire series encapsulated.
Yeah. Danny,
it really is.
Danny is the frog in the well.
Yeah.
He's only known the well of Kun Lun.
Yeah.
And he does not realize the way the world works. And we're finally getting that with him.
Mm-hmm. Well, and after these episodes, the one thing that I really want, because I can't quite get this timeline straight in my head, is I need the flashback. Or I need the sitting down, this is when and why I left. Because we have the bits of, your training wasn't complete, you left without saying anything, let alone goodbye. Like, it's all in kind of scattered bits and pieces, but I really just want that definitive, here it is. Give us a 5-minute flashback scene, lay it out for us, because he doesn't know how to recharge his chi, he doesn't really know how to use the Iron Fist all that well. Evidently it can heal, ? Like,
yeah.
It's like he just ticked off the first box and ran away.
Yeah.
Which is entirely possible, but I'd like some actual canon confirmation on the timeline.
Yeah, and I hate to always compare it to Arrow and him to Oliver Queen, but I do it every episode, so whatever.
You know, it puts itself up to do it, so hey, you have to.
And that's the thing, is they should have flashbacks corresponding to some of these stories. We maybe got a few little childhood flashbacks in the first episode, but not really anything, and we're trying to learn about this character. And flashbacks are normally how we learn about how this person came to be who they were.
It would be it would be so great if every episode correlated with a flashback. Like, Danny had troubles with something, and then you would see the flashback where Danny is trying to learn how to overcome that trouble in Kun Lun in his training, and then in the episode he overcomes it because he learned how to do it in Kun Lun.
That'd be smart.
We did get semi-hallucinatory sensei at one point, which was pretty dang cool.
Yeah.
But it was also weird.
Yeah. So we get Gao in a box. She is playing that manipulation game hard. We also learn from her that she's been tortured. She got tortured a bunch in the 17th century. Because they try using truth serum on her, and again, she like pretends like it works and then goes to sleep and then wakes up and is like, ha ha, idiots.
Which is good. Yeah.
Lol, JK.
Yeah. I also think Gao can break out of that chair any moment she wants. Like,
that I'm not sure about, because just because of the way that she walks, even when no one is watching, we do have a very old woman. She's a capable old woman.
Yeah.
But I don't know that she's able to get out of that.
We saw her push Danny like 20 feet.
Yeah. We did. What happened to that? Where did it go?
Yeah.
And can it get ropes off of her?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Because if she pushes the chair back 20 feet and she's still in the chair, she's moved 20 feet, but she hasn't solved her problem.
It'll break the chair against the wall.
Not necessarily.
How big is that dojo?
Yeah, that's true. Next week on How Big Is That Dojo? So we get that, and then we get this reveal that Colleen has been poisoned from last week. The Tai Chi sword fighter that she fought, or Wushu, it was a mix of both, had a poisoned hand weapon, and it is spreading spider webs across her arm, and she is dying. Not enough to fight off soldiers. Like, special forces.
Right.
Yeah.
But the way I got that was, okay, she's poisoned. Okay, a lot of strenuous physical activity is going to accelerate that.
Sure, yeah.
All right, I gotcha.
And we see these soldiers who, like, saw through the roof.
Which is weird. That was like, it's a kind of slow motion. It's like, what's going on here?
The roof.
Aren't there several floors to this building?
There are several floors, and, like, you gotta pay for that, gal. You saw through that roof.
That's okay. The other hand is... No, Danny owns the building now.
That's true. Yeah, it's Danny's building.
That's his problem.
So they saw sunroofs into a multi-roof building where there is no sun. And they came down just to get the crap beaten out of them. Again, we see Danny use the Iron Fist, not on a human being ever, but only on guns and doors.
Yeah.
It's like the world's best construction tool.
He really has the best...
He's a demolition guy.
Yeah. Welcome. He should join the demolition crew. and they take out these soldiers pretty easily, like really easily, and then tie them up and just leave them in that dojo. We have no idea what happens to those soldiers.
They're there now. It's fine.
Yeah.
The students come in for class the next morning. What the hell happened?
Why are there all these assault rifles here?
Like, that's the cutaway that I want, is the students coming in and being like, did we always have a sunroof?
Do we have class?
I was thinking, Sensei Colleen is a perv, is what they're thinking. What is this?
Those are the least subtle peeping holes.
Oh, dear God. I'm sure, because I'm calling him the other hand now, because there are too many hands at this point. And that's always been a very hard sentence to get through. And it's like,
all hands on deck.
It's the head of the hand. It's
So you're believing...
I'm sure the other hand took care of the soldiers one way or another.
So you're believing Bukato when he says that they are a separate hand?
Maybe. That's what the series has presented to us at this point. It's obviously two people screwing with each other's factions. We don't know who is the hand that Danny was taught to fight and who is the, screw your traditions, I'm doing what I want. And I kind of think that Bakuto is the, we're the modern hand. We do what we want. And Gao is a little more traditional hand.
Yeah.
I can't get over the fact that they're called the hand. Like, none of my sentences make sense.
It reminds me of, those of you who watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we had, like, old traditional Hydra that worshipped Hive, the god, and then, like, modern Hydra, which was just, like, Nazis. And it kind of reminds me of that. I think both hands are bad.
Well,
I don't think there's a good hand and a bad hand. I think...
Either way, we've been dealt a terrible hand.
Listen... All hands on deck. Let's figure it out.
And now we're pointing fingers.
Okay.
You have me on this panel. I will do this all day.
No, that's fine. My hands are tied. So before we get into Bukato, we find out that he is in fact Colleen Sensei, and that she's been training with him, and he's speed dialed in her cell phone. And they carry them off. Let's go to
Leave Claire there.
And leave Claire's there.
Where we're going, you can't follow, but everything's gonna be fine. She's just like, Jesus now, Christ, where have I heard that before?
I wanted him to say, where we're going, there are no roads. And they just take off.
But only once they hit 88 miles an hour.
Before we hit other hand, let's check in on the Meacham family, because we had a prediction. We had a prediction last week that came true this week, in which we got Zombie Harold back from the dead. And I want to point out that was his, the actor's job. I can't remember it off the top of my head. But the guy playing him, his kind of, the way he portrayed coming back to life and like figuring out his motor and higher functions was really, really well done.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Like, maybe the best portrayal I've seen of a guy trying, or person trying to figure out what their, like, higher functions are after being brought back to life. And I'm happy to say that I've seen a lot of media where people get brought back to life, and I can compare it to multiple things.
I loved the little details for that, is him finding himself and not realizing that the hot dog water was hot, and that the security code, which for some reason hasn't been changed in 11 years, 15 years, is Ward's birthday. I work at a school, and we go through passwords and security codes and whatnot all the time. It's like, this person left, and they had the passwords for X, Y, Z, and Theta. All of those passwords are getting changed. But even then, even if they were going to fire the Meachams should have all the codes for this. They should be changed. How in 15 years did a security code not get changed? You are a multinational corporation. What is wrong with you?
Guess that it was an executive override, that no one except for Rand and Harold had like these two codes that would always get them in.
Maybe.
Yeah, good call.
I'm going to guess that.
Stick your finger in that plot hole there.
I'm just a little
Dutch boy in the dam.
I'm going to explain it away. It was either that or a wizard did it.
I am down for a wizard did it. All right.
It's finally, we have wizards with passcodes. But that entire sequence, to like him going to the water fountain and being like, is that your son? I have a son. Like, yeah. Him figuring all of that out. Like, was really, really well done. I'm surprised that the security guards didn't see their ex-boss on the security cameras and be like, a ghost!
Like, Bob, are you seeing this? Frank, I have no idea what's happening right now, but I am willing to say that this is not happening if you are. I'm down.
We just agree.
It's 2 a.m. This is not okay. You know what? Forget it. We will send the footage into one of those paranormal shows. It'll be fine.
We agree this that the security guards are still concussed from Danny beating them up.
Well, those are different security guards. Like, you have the people who watch the camera, and you have the people that they call saying, somebody needs to get their ass beat. These poor camera watchers are working the night shift and don't get paid enough for this.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is like, to actually think that the security guards would do anything. It's like, every person I've ever known that works security was like, I don't get paid enough to do anything. So they'd probably just be like, that's weird. And just go on. And David Wynham is the name of
David Wynham. David Wynham put on a real clinic as far as that went. He's been great this entire series. But like, seeing that transition to being able to be fully cognitive again was really, really satisfying.
Yeah.
Because it would have been... And I love the hot dog water moment where he just, like, vomits up all the swamp.
Oh.
Yes. That was so gross.
And poor hot dog vendor is like, are we serious? Yeah. Are we serious? This is happening?
He's a New York hot dog vendor. Yeah,
yeah, that probably happens all the time. Yeah.
I mean, what are they calling it? The event? The Avengers happened.
Yeah.
And I'm sure this guy was still selling hot dogs there.
Yeah. There's a line of Chitauri buying hot dogs and pretzels from him. He's just got an Infinity Stone, one of them paid with.
I need a fan art of this, you guys.
Yeah, guys.
If anyone's down, I need fan art of this particular hot dog buyer selling things to Chitauri.
Yeah.
Getting paid in Infinity Stones and alien weaponry.
Yeah. So we see that. We see maybe a new Meacham, or Harold. Definitely someone who has regrets when he confronts Ward. There's this really intense moment where, number one, Ward sees his dead dad that he definitely murdered and was having stress nightmares with blood all over his hands about this, and stress day nightmares.
Hallucinations.
Hallucinations about...
drug withdrawal and guilt hallucinations.
About the guilt of this. He sees his dad, and... he immediately, this is a tense moment where, like, you were supposed to be dead.
I'm hallucinating again.
Yeah. And, like, this is a world where now two people have come back from the death twice, and one of them has happened twice to them, just themselves. Because you've got Danny and now Harold twice now. It is truly the Marvel Universe. Dead is never dead.
No.
As I say, that's why I like soaps and sci-fi. No one ever really dies.
Yeah.
I have to say that we have in chat Ken from Chicago saying, New Yorkers are so blasé. Yeah. I had to put that because it's Ken from Chicago.
Yeah.
Like, bless. That makes me real happy.
It's the Windy City. They're taught to react. Just get out of the way if you see a zombie. They would survive. They've had the Transformers movies.
Oh, God. Like, all of them took place in Chicago.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you guys. I'm so sorry.
But, we have this really interesting moment between Ward and Harold, where Harold goes in, and it seems like it's menacing, and it turns into this almost childlike hug of Ward, where he apologizes for being a bad father and not helping him. And it's like, is this we're kind of thinking, is this a renewed Ward? Harold? Is this a different Harold?
This is a Harold that still doesn't have all his faculties.
This is a Harold that doesn't have all his faculties yet, but he also has learned that he is absolutely he can't die. As far as he knows, when Kyle comes and picks him up, oh, poor Kyle!
Oh,
I'm so mad. I wanted so much more for Kyle, and then we had him for two episodes, and he showed up again to die.
He got.
I am so mad.
But he got the thing that he always wanted. If he learned he could never die, he would have ice cream for breakfast and lunch.
That was such a cute thing, and I loved how Harold is like, that's so boring, but then because Ward sort of rejects him, he wants to make, like, father-son relationship with Kyle, And I did laugh a little bit at Kyle's demise because it was kind of funny. It's like, oh man, you know, he wanted vanilla.
Yeah.
You know? But I kind of love that Harold is sort of Santa Clarita dieting it, you know, as a dad. Yeah.
He just puts he puts Kyle in the tank.
No.
because that's a really good hiding place. It's not see-through and visible from multiple angles.
And he's
angles.
All nice now that he's a zombie again. It's like, well, what is with this? I'm going to be a
he
good
put
parent.
The alcohol hutch in front of Kyle in the tank. Because no one will ever go for alcohol.
Yeah.
Except for him.
Yeah.
Which he occasionally just breaks on the floor.
Yeah, poor Kyle. He brings Kyle all he ever wanted, which was ice cream. But Kyle, being the boring guy he is, just wants vanilla. And this is offensive to Harold. And maybe it's a pet cemetery sitch? Mm-hmm. Is that what you guys are thinking?
Absolutely.
He came back wrong?
Especially since we have Ward going back to the Hatchet Men and saying, hey, what's the deal? I need your help. And them saying, this is what happens. There is a legend or there is a story told where I'm from where a guy got brought back to life from the hand. And, you know, he went off to the war and died and came back and died and came back and died and came back. And each time he was a little less himself and he wound up roasting two of his children on a spit.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I'm thinking the more that this happens, the more the brain function just kind of shorts out and you become this no higher function, very animalistic, base urges sort of person.
Yeah.
Which is not a good. And
Not a good.
And it just turns into a lot of homicide. We're averaging one per episode at this point just from
Pretty
Harold.
Much.
That's
so.
True, yeah.
See, I always thought of it as the Treehouse of Horror Simpsons, where every time Homer got cloned, he got
dumber. Just something like that. But yeah, it came back wrong, and then came back even more wrong, and then came back even more wrong.
Yeah.
It's just like, you kind of hit wrong, wrong, or wrongest and go, mm.
Yeah, from a spiritual sense, it's like maybe he's leaving a piece of his soul behind every time he comes back.
I legitimately do think it's brain deterioration.
It could be brain. I'm going for a mystical kind of cooler, creepy thing.
And I'm going for oxygen deprivation, brain damage.
Well, sure, yeah.
On Supernatural, I mean, when Sam came back from the dead, he didn't have a soul initially. And then, too, same thing when they use the Lazarus Pit on Arrow. You know, you have to put the you got to call John Constantine. He's got to cross over to this universe, put the souls back in.
Okay,
that
but
was
frog
your
water
super
drinking
game at home
dumb.
Guy, that was at least two.
Frogwater rules were weird, though, all right?
And those
Arrow
of you,
Frogwater was weird.
Yeah. Those of you playing the Arrow Supernatural drinking game, that's two shots.
Yeah.
If they were taking a shot every time we talked about Arrow, they would have died of alcohol poisoning last episode, and then we wouldn't have a chance.
Yeah, it's supposedly just John Constantine, Malcolm Merlin, and Supernatural.
Yeah. Three more shots.
There we go, guys.
Hi, chat, we love you. Please don't die. Drink responsibly.
Let's continue with Harold's story, because he ends up... Joy ends up inheriting...
I'm sorry. Paul in chat just put in every hand emote he possibly could.
It's all
there's
the hands.
Like 12 of them.
All
hands on deck, indeed.
Joy ends
up give him a hand.
Ends up inheriting the Iron Fist elevator secondary evolution, and we see her meet her father, who is still alive. That she knows for the first time, but is actually the second time.
Yeah.
And again, we get this. Again, I thought she handled it great.
Yeah.
Like, for someone who's seen her dead father.
Yeah, she definitely handled that better than...
She handled it really well.
I feel like for her, it slots in a lot of answers where there have been questions, especially concerning Ward's behavior. Like, I can't explain this to you. This needs to happen. It's happening because I said so. It's like, oh, Dad's been behind this entire time.
Mm.
And I think that we really get that at the end of the next episode with her speech about, oh, well, you've been this guardian angel, and I thought I could feel your presence, and I could because you've been pulling the strings this whole time. Like, she's not dumb. Mm.
No. Ward getting mysterious calls from Frank Stein.
Like, for her, it's, oh, Dad's actually alive and pulling the strings.
Of course he is.
You know, this makes a lot of sense in retrospect.
And also her childhood best friend just came back from the dead as well. So she's really used to it.
Yeah. At this point, it's just kind of like, all right, take a shot every time when.
Yeah.
Must be Tuesday.
Yeah. Is mom coming back? Where's mom?
Oh, God. What if Gao is mom?
Oh, God! But they've talked about mom, and mom is a separate person.
They have. It's impossible for Gao to be mom, but let's all think about it for a while.
I mean, at that point, if mom comes back, it's full-on zombie apocalypse territory.
Yeah. So we get this reunion of Joy and Harold. Harold's talking about being a new man, wanting to make things right, that it's a father's job to make the world a better place, a lie for his children to believe. And he tells Joy not to go through with the
blackmail
that he doesn't, because she's going to get brought in front of a jury eventually, and that she'll have to tell the truth and not to be a liar because it's his daughter that he took hunting, and the dad will take care of it. And he does. He does take care of it. After meeting with Bacano, we figure out that Harold is arranging for the board to get back on board with the Meacham family.
Yeah.
And you would say he has the whole world in his hand?
I would say.
Yes!
We were waiting for you to jump on that train.
Well.
Oh my God. Give her a hand.
So we see this interaction between Harold and what was the board member's name?
Larry?
I don't know.
I'll find it. You guys keep talking.
Something like that. And it's this thing he talks about, like I said before, it's a father's job to lie to his children and get them to believe that the world is a safe place. And he's like, I'm gonna give you the easy way out. Kill yourself.
See, here's the thing. Marvel can't get through a season of anything without killing a black man.
Lawrence Wilkins.
Lawrence, yeah.
Lawrence.
They literally can't.
Specifically a avuncular black man.
Specifically older black men.
Yeah,
like, it has well to spoken, happen.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, here's the check mark. Do we have a superhero? Are we doing a costume? Well, I guess that's optional.
Sure.
Do we have the pivotal episode somewhere between the 7th and 10th? And have we killed an old black man? All right, we good? Right.
Daredevil season 2, elderly black man, safe.
Okay, well, we've already marked off. Costume, not so much. Yeah. That's the check mark. It's a 3 out of 4 thing.
Yeah.
Luke Cage, we winked at it. That's good enough.
If you're an avuncular black man, don't give out advice in the Marvel Universe. Just do your own thing in the Marvel Universe.
Sure. Make like the Scream 2 camera guy and just be like, I know how this happens. I'm leaving.
Yeah.
He lived. That is the smartest horror movie man I have ever seen.
But yeah, we see this moment where, again, Harold just murders him and asks the guy, like, when's the turnover? When do we get cleaning crew in here? And he's like, 2 hours. He's like, well, you got a job to do. Bye.
Well, I think that was, he talked about having the phones off for maintenance, and it was 2.5 minutes until the phones were back on.
Oh, 2.5 minutes until the phones were back on? Yeah.
Yeah, Ron Corleone in the chat says, to be fair, in season 2 of Daredevil, it was the older black woman that died, and Lady Goth points out, wouldn't the blackmail result in less murder?
You'd think.
It might be a thing where Harold is taking it personally.
Well, and I really do think that Harold, because of the brain short-circuiting, is just seeing, okay, well, this is the expedient result. This is the expedient route. Let's do it. It's fine.
Yeah. And we get this final kind of talk with Joy where she straight out asks him, like, did you have anything to do with this?
And it was, did you have him killed?
Yes.
Specifically that wording. And I'm like, oh, friend, you never ask yes or no questions. You give him the, oh, you're a lawyer.
Yeah.
Open-ended question. What happened?
Because he did not have him killed.
He just killed himself.
Yeah, so...
And therefore, he's still telling the truth. I did not have him killed.
Yeah, absolutely not. He did not have him killed. And we leave them with that. Back on the Iron Fist side, we go to this beautiful, lovely retirement camp.
It was...
My brain went, UC Berkeley.
Yeah. UC Berkeley, I thought Benai Breath.
What'd you think?
I don't know what to think. It looked like a retirement home.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, it's like they're in New York somewhere. They've got to find something. They went to a retirement home or something.
All right, Lucretia, what do you got?
Yeah, I honestly thought retirement home as well. I was like,
Just, well, it sure was handy.
Everyone's who was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd give an arm and a leg to go to that hand place. We got people doing Tai Chi. We get some more information on Bukato, who kind of runs this place. It's a place for wayward souls to go and kind of find themselves and center themselves.
What I love is that Danny's reaction was like a cult. You left the planet when you were 10. What do you know about cults?
Yeah.
Like, you watched that episode of Boy Meets World.
Yeah.
I guess.
Go watch that episode of Boy Meets World, everyone.
I don't know that I've seen episode. That one.
Yeah, Sean joins a cult.
It's, oh, my God.
Fantastic.
Wait, Scientology?
They didn't call it Al.
Yeah. Probably. But yeah, not only that, but Bukato knows a lot about the Iron Fist.
Yeah.
Like, he has been studying the Iron Fist for a long time, and we see in the episode before, like he can in the comics, Danny heals someone using the Iron Fist.
Right.
In the comics, Danny has learned to control his chi a lot more ways. Not only can he have the Iron Fist in both hands, like we see in the film, but he can throw the Iron Fist, he can shoot it, he can heal himself.
I'm sorry.
Listen, guys, do you want to get the sex jokes out?
Yeah. Yes!
Okay.
He can't do it when he's angry. He can't do it when he's injured. It doesn't last long enough to really work.
Sure.
It never happens when he needs it. He never usually has problems with this, guys. It's just this one.
Listen.
He has to learn how to control his chi and use both hands.
Listen. And he has to be refreshed.
Listen, he's young and he's eager, and that's what's important. He's gonna put the time in.
Oh my God! And he can't use both hands.
He lost his virginity last episode. Yeah. Like,
that is not gonna stop us from making dick jokes.
Sure, no.
Because let's be real, it's one big dick joke.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is a dick joke. But Bukato and
he can't do it under pressure.
He can't. Bukato, a master at harnessing chi, teaches him how to refresh the Iron Fist.
Quote unquote, supposedly, because it doesn't work now?
Yeah, because that was.
Well, I think that is maybe a reference to acupuncture, where maybe he has blocked Danny's chi with that stabbed him with.
Oh, that's a good point.
Because acupuncture is all about how underneath there is like a network where chi flows, and when they stick the needles in, it's to open up the gates that are like traffic lights for chi. And so I assume Bukato stabbed him in a spot where the chi could not flow anymore. We got some good chat.
Ken from Chicago says Danny just needs Chiagra, but if he has an Iron Fist for more than 4 hours, he should see a doctor.
That is true.
That's awesome.
And Paul Bila he's like, that's what sex is?
Listen, as far as I know, sure.
I love everyone in this bar. You guys are amazing.
But we actually get a really interesting kind of... I enjoyed this story of intrigue where Danny isn't sure what's going on. He notices a house where there are extra guards. Everyone is dressed very uniform. It's very much a cult. We see people from Colleen's dojo that have graduated out of it are now here. And Danny is a little suspicious. Bukato shows Danny a reel from 1948 where soldiers were stuck in China in the hills. And they got the crap beaten out of them by an Iron Fist who used it against humans. And it was very effective when he did it.
Almost like it's a weapon.
That's in line with, if you guys are interested in hearing more about historical Iron Fist, the Immortal Iron Fist series from like 2006 or 2007 that explores all the historical Iron Fist.
Yeah, those are great series.
That's the best Iron Fist
series. It's so good. You get to see like Orson Rand, who like uses guns and channels his chi through guns. There was one who channeled her chi through bow and arrow. It's really cool and fun, and like a fun series to read. So we see that. We see that Danny is like, oh, there are more things I can do with this iron fist other than break walls and guns.
Seriously, it's like, I have elevators. The iron fist, and now I'm leaving. Yeah. Like, okay, wow. Okay.
So we see the potential. Danny goes, and he sneaks in. We also see Danny do a cool thing. We see him sneak into that house. We see him do the kick onto the fire escape. Why do you have a fire escape for a two-story house? It doesn't make sense, but we'll let it slide.
Well, you know, the hand likes to keep things up to code.
Yeah, they are up to code. The hand fire marshal comes through and makes sure
he's very hands-on. Saved.
He is a hands-on fire marshal. I'm wringing my hands on this. So Danny comes in. He sees Gao in a new box, a brand new box for Gao. And she talks to him and basically says, like, you're an idiot, which is true. This is the hand still. And Bukato comes from behind him and is wearing the hand colors. He's, like, in red and black. Like, is dressed like all of the hand ninjas. Like, that's their mascot colors.
But I love the comment about that they're destroying your ability to trust.
Yeah.
Like, that's incredible because this is someone who trusts people he really, really shouldn't right off the bat more than once.
Yeah, he's a little boy.
Yeah.
He's a little boy who trusts everyone with candy. And Bukato has some great candy, which is teaching him more about the Iron Fist, which you can recharge it doing some Tai Chi moves. And Danny has this confrontation with Colleen. And it turns out that Colleen knows they're the hand. And knows that it's been the hand this entire time, but insists that it's good hand, not bad hand.
That it's the right hand.
Guys, this is an interesting sentence that I am saying.
I know, right? Just because it's called the hand, all of a sudden it's like, my sentence just stopped. Why did it do that? This doesn't make any sense.
So what do we think about that? Is Colleen...
It's terrible writing.
You think it's terrible writing?
Because it's like, oh, this is a really great twist to have.
Yeah.
And then you rewind about 8 episodes and go, no. Like, it's just like, oh, I had feelings for Danny Rand before I knew you were the Iron Fist. No, that's when you thought he was a hobo. He was following you around, telling you what you shouldn't do with your dojo. Like, your feelings for him came around 2-3 episodes ago, maybe, from right the hell out of nowhere. At the beginning of this, even when you knew he was an Iron Fist, you thought he was a dick.
Yeah.
Like, your actions did not change and did not show any of the, well, I still had feelings for you, even when I was yelling at you and trying to get away from you, and Claire thought that she had to support me and save me when you brought in takeout against my will and I didn't want it. Like, when you're giving off signals bad enough that your friend who is a girl is like, I need to support you, this is a bad situation, that is not, I've had feelings for you.
Well, that's...
My feelings for you were that you were a giant dick.
Well, that's only assuming that she's telling the truth.
Who even knows?
Yeah.
I honestly, if this is what we as the audience are meant to believe, it was it was set up incredibly poorly.
It was.
And we're going from Colleen as a position of strength to Colleen as, well, I was manipulating you with my sex appeal and my just kind of being shoved back in the, you're a woman, this is what you do,
which box. is what Danny accused her of. He said, did Bukato tell you to sleep with me?
Because again, but that's what the writing is doing as well.
Yeah,
she accomplished the hand's job.
And Kyle finally got in on it.
Would you say that? What do you think of that one?
It was worth the wait.
Paul in the chat says best panel hands down.
Guys, we got the full hand. Everyone's done a hand pun. Thank you. We're retiring.
No, we're not. I'm still on this panel.
Yeah.
I'll handle it.
Okay.
Oh, here we go. Oh, God.
And a delayed reaction. Yeah. That's when you know it's good.
Listen, it's the hand fighting Iron Fist. It is silly.
It's literally.
That is. So we see Danny now struggling with who he trusts and who he doesn't trust. He's trying to figure things out. He goes to like a main computer room, has a fight, which was a good fight for Finn Jones.
Finally.
Like, Finn Jones had a good fight, and it was like, congratulations, Finn.
And Bakuto went down easy, though.
Bakuto went down like that, real easy. And then we get the reveal of my favorite character of the series, and one of my favorite characters from Iron Fist lore, who's there. We saw him in the last episode knock out a poor, like, street vendor.
Truck driver vendor. It's like, come on, man.
And then torture
him. Make shuriken out of tinfoil.
Tinfoil, and, like, throw him at him while he's bored. It's Davos the Thunderer, who's one of my favorite characters. He's just, like, a hard-as-nails guy. And he's like, Danny, we gotta go. He has
his introduction was all this, but coming in and seeing Danny and going, you are the worst Iron Fist ever. And I'm like, you are officially my new favorite character. Yep. Hi, I love you.
Yep. And then he's like, these are the hand. And he's like, well, let's kill as many as we can on the way out.
I'm like, oh, and you're pragmatic. Like, I am just enjoying the hell out of Davos. Yes, please. Thank you. Where were you 8 episodes ago?
He's a badass. What'd you guys think of the second hallway fight of the series?
Better, but it had a moment where I just sat there and went, really? And laughed my ass off. Like, when they all got piled on, and then all they had to do to get them off was, oh!
Yeah.
Like, come on. Come on.
What about you guys?
I do that to get my cat off my back.
Yeah.
Eh. See?
Yeah.
See?
I thought it was incredibly funny.
It was very 60s Batman funny. Well,
just because the hallway was so narrow.
Right.
I think it was supposed to be funny. I think that was purposeful. Because the hallway was so narrow that you could barely get one guy at a time attacking them.
That was
It was not... I don't think I could stand sideways in that hallway. Like, I think it was such a tiny hallway. So they were all just, like, packed in there.
Right.
And we got to see, and honestly, throughout this entire escape, we got to see some great Danny and Davos. Like, they trained together. They're, like, tag team action.
That courtyard was much better when they went back to back and they started fighting everyone. That was great.
That was really fun. And again, Danny can't get it up. He gets stabbed. He gets stabbed by Bukato.
I swear, this never happens to me.
Yeah. And again, Davos is like, oh, you're the worst. Why can't you just punch through this door?
You've punched through like 5 doors in the series already. I know we're all getting tired of the gimmick, but holy cow, just do it. Yeah. Now it's plot relevant.
Yeah. We get this stab with like a steel spike. Maybe there's something relevant to what the weapon is. I was just thinking it was, like, disrupting.
Yeah, that just seemed weird.
Yeah.
That hadn't occurred to me, but that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Because that was also some very specific placement.
Yeah.
Yeah, they focused on it with the camera in his hand. I was just like, well, it's just a needle, but...
Yeah.
You're not going to need that kidney.
Yeah. it looks like our heroes are in trouble when we get Colleen Ex Machina. She also has a secondary mutation with doors. She opens the doors for them. There's this moment where Davos is, like, fighting the extra hand that get through, and Danny's just having a moment looking at Colleen. But, like, Davos is, like, fighting 6 guys.
Can we have a series about Davos?
I would love it. I need this in my life. Yeah.
Where has he been for the past 8 episodes? Like, come on, dude.
What do we think about the relationship now of Danny and Colleen? Like, where does it stand?
This episode did her so wrong.
Yeah.
It really did. And we'll have to see where the next 3 go, because Colleen has been one of the best characters in this series, and this episode just yanked the rug right out from under her. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hoping we can fix that, and that this was just kind of a one episode thing.
Uh-huh.
But wow, the writing did her.
Such a strong character. So to have her be a part of this cult just doesn't even make sense. And it's just like, are you trying to make her weaker for Danny to seem stronger? And I don't really like when they do that. It's like, bring someone up instead of bring someone else down.
Yeah.
I will say that maybe, if the writing was better, it would be interesting to see such a strong character then be so submissive to the hand and to, like, this cult. To see a strong character then immediately be subservient to someone would be a really shocking and interesting change. And they didn't handle it the best way. But hopefully hopefully they're mindful of that, and that was what they were going for, and not that they just were like, oh, now Colleen needs Danny. Like, that kind of thing.
We knew she had a sensei. We knew she had this person that she learned from and respected. Like, we established that a little earlier on.
Yeah.
But we also have Colleen, you know, struggling to make rent and trying to make life better for these kids. And obviously she's been this tough as nails. Hi, Siri.
Siri wanted to ask what's going on.
It's been a rough life for her, and that's what we get for most of this. And then we have, you could have gone back to UC Berkeley at any time. Yeah. And when she shows up there, it's a lot less harder edge, which is what has gotten her through her life in New York, and more, oh, Tahiti, it's a magical place. It's like...
Tahiti.
Yeah, I love how it's basically the same storyline from Chuck with Casey and his sensei. It's like, oh yeah, like this really strong character has a weakness here, but oh no, he was part of some evil organization and now we need to learn about trust.
Take a shot same for Chuck.
Chuck shouts, everyone. Also, why wasn't the hand paying for rent?
Like, if that dojo is a recruitment spot for them, you'd think.
Yeah, if you're on the upper level of the pyramid scheme where you're like bringing in people to the cult, don't they pay for stuff at that point?
They were giving her the finger.
We also see one of Colleen's recruits there, just a real quick, just mention it. We see him get beat up by Davos. And he's there, and he's, like, in Bukato's arms, and he's like, did Danny get away? And it's like,
oh. Is he still alive? Yeah, sure. Yeah. Sure, kid. This child is our future. And I'm like, oh, it's a cult.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then we get these interactions between Davos where he's like, Danny, you ran away. The door to Kun Lun is open, which is a big deal in Iron Fist lore. Kun Lun is, the door is closed almost all the time. The fact that it's open and the fact that the Iron Fist isn't there to protect it, and now the Thunderer isn't there to protect it, is a really big deal. And we leave them saying, Davos saying, we're going back to Kun Lun. I'm going to bring you there. You're hurt. You can't even summon the Iron Fist. You need to go to fist training.
You need to go get fisted.
You need to go to fisting training. The Pleasure Chest here in Los Angeles has plenty of classes.
And comedy with T.J. Miller.
Lots of comedy there.
Yeah.
I mean, we know Danny's not going back because we have the Defenders. And we know that Gao is going to be back on the board as a chess piece because we have the Defenders. And sadly, that announcement has really kind of neutered the end of the series.
That's true,
And then again, that announcement was released when presumably most people had already binge-watched the series. Yeah. So we are the outliers here.
That being said, I mean, they could go back. I mean, they were in China last week. Like, they could go for a half an episode and back. I think that moves us on. Do you guys have any final thoughts about these episodes? Anything in the chat that got brought up?
They better do Colleen better next time.
Just Colleen.
Seriously, this episode was such a disappointment.
Then let's go briefly to news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Just Marvel TV series general news. Yeah. Katie reminded us. We're going to have a new Warriors series.
I'm so excited.
People who are doing Cloak and Dagger. And it's going to heavily feature Squirrel Girl. Not a pilot. Not a prospect. They're making the series with the new Warriors. And supposedly Justice and Speedball, you said, are confirmed?
I need to go dig it up. There was an article from a year or two ago when they were shopping the proposal around that had a proposed lineup. And Squirrel Girl was in that lineup. I know Justice was. I know Speedball was. I cannot remember who else was. I know Namorita wasn't, which makes me really sad because she's wonderful.
All I hope for is Slapstick.
They are doing it in a 30-minute comedy format on Freeform.
Okay, so that's possible. Or you know, Rage.
Marvel for kids.
Yeah. Or Rage. I mean, Squirrel Girl is a fantastic character. It would be great to see that. Any other thoughts? You guys have any thoughts on New Warriors?
I'm just so excited. Yeah. I really am.
I'm excited for all the Marvel content coming out for sure. As a huge nerd.
And we've got, there's just so much. Civil War is so different in this universe, we have a very different direction for the new Warriors. Yeah. It's like, can we avoid Penance? Can we do that? Thank you.
I thought Penance looked very cool. Did not like his character. Let's move from news and gossip to predictions for next week.
And the now, light show.
AfterBuzz TV. Predictions.
So we have Harold and Joy kind of getting back Rand Meacham. We didn't talk about it, but Ward is now in the same place that Danny was
with
the
same doctor.
With the same doctor, doing the same stuff. My dad's alive, and this is a trap. There's literally no way for me to win,
and also I know he has cameras here.
And and we know that Harold set him up with the heroin. Then we have Danny and Davos maybe on their way to Kunlun, and then the hand slowly closing around itself.
And Colleen back on the street. She got out.
Yeah, Colleen wandering the streets.
Claire needs to come back in and just beat some sense into everyone.
Yeah, Kyle, knock some heads together. What are your predictions for next week?
Well, they're not going to Kunlun. I know that. I mean, I don't know that, but I don't see it happening. We've never seen any pictures out of this.
Yeah.
They're not going there. I don't know. So we still have three left.
Yeah.
So we're not getting to the big confrontation yet. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know where to go.
Nothing.
I just want Claire knocking everyone's heads together. I want Claire and Davos to talk. This is what I need in my life.
A Claire and Davos interaction.
I don't care if they're arguing. I don't care if they're agreeing. I don't care if they're beating the hell out of each other. Just, I need it.
Yeah, it has to happen.
That'll definitely be like a keeping it real moment with Davos and Claire.
Keeping it real with Davos and Claire.
Welcome to Keeping It Real. I would watch that TV program. Coming up after How Big Is This Dojo? It's Keeping It Real with Davos and Claire.
We just need a Marvel TV lineup.
I don't think they're going to Kunlun. I think maybe we'll get some sort of interaction where we get Danny. I mean, Danny powered up these two episodes. I'm hoping Danny gets a power up again with Davos there. They do some training. They go and just beat up guys and get like grind for XP. I think that Joy is going to become Harold Jr. basically.
I think she's
going to be far less inclined to be under Harold some than Ward was.
I think
because Ward was also groomed from a child for this. Joy far less so. So she's got a lot more independence and is already questioning Dad. Like, were you involved?
I think I agree. I think maybe Joy at the end of the series, Joy is in charge of Meacham Rand.
Hopefully, and
doing it through maybe not the best ways. That she's learned from her brother and her father and learned how to be the best criminal mastermind. I'm still waiting for that Joy heel turn. I feel like it's coming. Yeah. Until next week, Kyle, where can we find you?
Find me at all social medias. They got the handle there for you guys. I'm also here at AfterBuzz. Check out Taken. Awesome. Into the Badlands will be next weekend. Next tomorrow, Into the Badlands for some really cool kung fu.
Awesome stuff.
All right. I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me all over the social medias and on YouTube at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. Samurai Jack is back next week. That is Sunday at 8 p.m. Mondays at 8 p.m. we have Attack on Titan. Tuesdays, obviously, we're here. Arrow is back next week on Wednesdays. I am also on Geek & Sundry's Gather Your Party on Friday nights. That's Friday at 7 p.m. Pacific on twitch.tv/Geek & Sundry. And for those of you in the chat talking Squirrel Girl versus Iron Fist, Squirrel Girl wins. She is literally the strongest hero in Marvel canon.
She's beat Thanos.
Yeah, she beat Thanos. Done.
And since I'm Lucretia Lyon, guys, you can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one. And Gotham will be back next week, as well as Supergirl, the same bat time, same bat channel, and who knows, I might even show up on Arrow.
You do that.
Sometimes.
You do that.
Yeah. Arrow shots, everyone. Don't forget to comment on our iTunes page. If you do, We will read it out here, and thank you for it, even if you hurt our feelings. I'm Jesse Klein. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one. You can see me tonight doing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. right here with AfterBuzz. And then on Sundays with our sister network, Popcorn Talk, I do Sci-Fi Weekly. We go over the week's news in science fiction and break down something fun. Until next time, this has been Iron Fist. Okay. Bye, everyone.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Give her a hand.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.